Listen, everybody, making a joyful noise before the Lord is not an excuse for lousy singing. That's not what that scripture means. That scripture means make a joyful noise before the Lord, not singing. That's making a joyful noise before the Lord.
Well, hello, everybody. So glad you could make it tonight. You never know what's going to happen in these meetings, do you? Gosh, so different every week, and it's just getting stronger in the presence of God. And there's definitely a realm God leads us into when we just spontaneous. For those that don't know, half of that tonight was just spontaneous. We sang a few songs we all knew, but once we took off, to me, choruses are pretty boring, really. I just love to, they're just a vehicle to get into the glory of God. And once I start to sense it, we just got to move in there. And I've seen God break out all sorts. In one meeting, I saw him break out in rap, and then break dancing, like a Rastafarian thing. Then it was blues, and it was all highly anointed, the whole thing. Of course, we had musicians that were there could play all those types of things. It's just like the Holy Ghost is just moving here and moving there and just getting stronger and stronger. That's what it's all about. Church was never meant to be predictable and boring, you know. It's meant to be full of life, spontaneity. And as long as we're doing it, people say, well, that's a lot of emotionalism. Of course it is. God's using our emotions to touch him. Now, what do you think? It's not him dancing, it's you. I'll only dance when I dance in the Spirit, brother. Well, how stupid is that? It's you dancing. You know, and sure, the Holy Ghost can take over, as I understand that. But as we do it, we're to bring a sacrifice unto the Lord with our body, our lives. And as long as we are doing it from our heart, not to show off, not to perform, but we're doing it because we're just expressing ourselves before Jesus, the Holy Ghost will always honor it, always. Amen. Even if something, I don't like that. Well, I don't like half the stuff either. I'm a very conservative guy, believe it or not. But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, if he tells me or lets me know that it's all right what's happening, I'll just let it go no matter what my upbringing tells me, as long as it doesn't go against the word of God, of course. All I know is this says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And it doesn't tell us in what style. How many visitors do we have here tonight? You don't come along to these meetings regularly. We just like to welcome you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, bless you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. We welcome you. I'm just building in my spirit that there'll be 30, 40 visitors between Friday night and Sunday night meetings from now on. Amen. Building in my spirit, 150 in all the revival meetings and all that sort of stuff. You've got to build it in your spirit to see it. And it won't be long before we'll be packed out. And if everybody came, who usually comes to the revival meetings, if we all happened to just show up on one night, we would be absolutely packed. The visitors that come and the people that come between the Friday, the Saturday and the Sunday night meeting, if we all just decided one day to come, or if we decided one weekend we're all going to show up at the same meeting every night, we would have standing room only, I'll tell you now. And so in one way it's a blessing, but we will soon see every seat filled here. And it won't be long before we'll have to go back to every night. And we're services every night because there'll be so many people, we're going to have different bands on just a couple of nights a week and a couple of different preachers. I'm telling you, it's gonna be that way just to fit them all in. You don't necessarily have to go to bigger buildings and all that, you know, no need for that. And then once you get a great crowd who are not just a crowd, but they really want to be a part of this apostolic prophetic move that we're going into, you know, then we plant 50 people here and 50 people there and start churches everywhere. That's the way to go, and missions and whatever else. So good on you. It's good to see you here. And before I get too excited, I'm just going to hand it over to Vaughan, the Dr. Vaughan. Give him a hand as he comes, this lovely man.
Thanks, nurse. Praise God. If I'm the doctor, that makes him the nurse or what? That'll learn him. So how's everybody tonight? Is everybody well? What an awesome night, eh? Crazy bunch. I love it. It's just wonderful, eh? Can never understand, you know, people who go crazy in the world, and you see them at these. What do people do? Yeah, I mean,
You know, there's a thing in England every year where they chase a cheese down a hill. Yeah, I mean, can you Adam and Eve it? You know, they actually chase a cheese down a hill. The bottom of the hill is a whole load of ambulances to pick up all the dead bodies, you know? And that's over a cheese. Can you believe it? So maybe we'd be starting to call Jews for cheeses. That was lame, wasn't it? But I got a couple of laughs out of the boomers. Praise God. Yeah, they got them in Yankee Stadium. Haven't you ever seen those Jews for Jeter? You ever seen them? It's not a joke. They do. They got a little shirt saying Jews for Jeter. So anyway, we're very blessed. But before I go any further, I want to just introduce you to a very good friend of mine, Pastor Ifiel and his wife, Elna, just arrived today from Harare, Zimbabwe. So Ifiel, come and say hello, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are really blessed to be here tonight, and we have been enjoying the presence of God and enjoying the Holy Ghost tonight as we have been celebrating Jesus. And we are looking forward to a glorious weekend together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I remember the first time I ministered with Pastor Ifiel. It was either late 89 or somewhere in there. He was having a camp meeting. And I was sleeping in this little tent. And I woke up in the morning and thought, what is that noise? You know, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. It was him preaching. The 6 o'clock morning service, that was. We had 6 meetings a day. And I remember I was preaching just before lunch. And I'm preaching and preaching and finished, and Pastor Ifiel looks at his watch and goes, Brother Vaughan, lunch is not ready. Preach again. And I don't know if he remembers that, but when we were there, my son Paul was 7 years old, so it was a while ago, and he was with us. And I always remember a little blonde kid, you know, he was, say, only 7, a little toehead, and he was dancing on the table. And that was a place when we were, do you remember that place, that camp? And the dust from the dancing went right to the very top of the ceiling. It was the most wonderful thing. And at midnight, we finished, you know. Well, he had to preach at 6 in the morning. So at midnight, we were all walking out the place like a rondavel, a big one. Well, not as big as this, but maybe half the size of this. And we were just walking out. Everyone had been dancing. Dust was everywhere. And we're just walking out. And just as the last guy was getting to the door, suddenly he went, Hallelujah! And everybody came running back in again and started dancing against each other. It was just crazy, man. It was just, okay. But it was a wonderful experience. I want to encourage you, Pastor Ifiel is going to be preaching tomorrow night and Sunday morning. The thing that I want to really encourage you is there's a tremendous need in the nations of the world. We were talking this week about finances and what we should or shouldn't do locally. But I want to keep encouraging you. Remember what made this nation great is the fact that we've always been a generous nation and a generous people. And we got it because of the gospel. And now what's happening is God, in our time of need, and you all know that I think America's in a tremendous time of need, is God is sending people to this nation. We're beginning to reap what we sowed. So we sowed the last century. America, you know, was responsible for 75% of all the missions around the world, whether it was physical people or finances. And so that's what made America great. You can think what you like. America could have become a third world country in the recession. If we hadn't suddenly got hold of our bootstraps and pulled them up and, you know, the industry that developed quickly, especially through the Second World War, there's no telling what might have happened to us as a nation. But we thank God that our country has always been a generous country. It's always been people that have wanted to give, wanted to bless. And we are an abundant country. And I don't want anybody ever to forget that. I want something to make sure I want all you to hear. And that's this. Those of you who are looking for a job, stop looking for a job. Go out and get a job. Is there any part of that you didn't understand? I'm serious. Stop looking for a job like a beggar. Stop going out there like you haven't got something to offer. You're a man and woman of God. Amen. Go out there and understand that whoever employs you is better off because you work there. Don't go off thinking they're going to hire you. Go out and say, here I am. I've come here to bless your company. Pay me. Now, with that attitude inside, you'll begin to realize that's who we are. We are not the tail. We are the head, for God's sake. And so stop going out there groveling with a begging bowl as if for some reason, oh, poor me. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get out there and get a job. Anybody not hear me? Can I get clearer? So please, just stop it. This whole mentality, this mindset of what, you know, oh, it's very tough. There is no recession in the kingdom of God. Somebody help me. There's no recession in the kingdom. The streets are still paved with gold, hallelujah. If God's still using gold for blacktop, please don't tell me he's broke. So let's continue to see that God wants to bless us. And as long as you are going out in your own strength, you are wasting your time. As long as you realize that you are a commission by God, an ambassador for Christ. And when you walk into a public place, that place, have you ever noticed when you go into a store, people start suddenly coming in the store because you're in there? It always happens with me. I can walk in an empty store and within minutes there's somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. They all come in after me because I'm in the store. The store's getting blessed because I'm there. I'm the Ark of the Covenant. I'm carrying God. Come on, somebody. This is the house of Obed-Edom right here. Hallelujah. I'm carrying the Ark inside of me. And that's when you've got that knowledge, it's so much easier. So I just want to encourage all of you, get out of this mentality of what you don't have. Ah! God, mate! Four. I've got mind to ask some of you to come out here so I can kick you in the butt. Just to get my point across. Hallelujah. So please realize this. Realize this. It is a nation of abundance. It is a nation of plenty. There is 91% employment. All we're doing is measuring the 9% unemployment. What kind of statistics is that? Did you hear that? In his country, there's 91% unemployment. In our country, there's 91% employment. Somebody's out there. Somebody's still out there building houses and selling stuff and buying stuff and pumping gas and whatever there is to do. Just get out there and get busy. Get out there and get busy and stop looking for the perfect job. The perfect job is the door that God opens for you. You have no idea why you're going in to get a job. You may be going out to get a job minimum wage and save somebody's life, for God's sake. That's a lot more important than your pay or your income. Just get out there and do something. Do something, anything. Don't matter what you do. Pump gas, sweep roads. It's your stinking pride that's causing you to want your perfect job. You're not old enough to have a perfect job. That's my job. I'm old enough now. Praise God. Don't forget. All right, what were we talking about? Money. That's it. Hallelujah. My favorite subject. Praise God. So you're getting ready to dig deep tonight. Nobody reached for your bags yet. People make the mistake. I've watched people when they take offerings. They say, we're now going to take the offering. And everybody gets their money, writes their checks out. Then they talk about giving. But it's too late. You've already written a check. That's it. Nobody put any hands in. Hey! No hands in pockets yet. It's true. It's true. It's just an amazing reality. When I think about how God continually blesses his people. I want to say to you young people, I'll say it again and again and again, and people, a lot of people have got a little weird out from this story, but I want to tell you, anybody under 30 years old, everything you do in life, you must put down to experience. Jesus accumulated nothing up till he was 30. Is anybody listening to me? Now, I've got nothing wrong with going out there, you get a good job, you can buy a house, et cetera, within your grasp, so it doesn't limit you for how you serve God. But there were too many people who, let me tell you, what I found in my life, right? I remember at 30 years old was when I gave everything away, so I can prophesy this to everybody. That if you think about, that if you press into God with all you have, and you focus on him, until you're at least 30 years old. Then, with all that experience, all that wisdom, all that knowledge, all that unction, all that anointing, all that training, you can make a killing by the time you're in your 50s. Are you with me? Everyone's scratching around. God wants you to earn millions in your life. Do you understand that? He wants you to earn millions, and you can't earn millions by sowing tens. Come on, I mean, we all know that. So therefore, sowing is something when you realize that you're on some kind of graft. This is why the scripture says the way of the wise ever winds upwards. It ever winds upwards. All the way of the wise ever winds upwards. All the time. Faith to faith. Strength to strength. And then there's, of course, glory to glory. And then we scratch. We're not chickens, we're eagles. We weren't born to scratch. We were born to soar with vision and strength and authority and understanding. And whenever we want something, we swoop down and get it in Jesus' name. This is what it's all about. But you've got to get this. You've got to get. I've got no sympathy for single people. None. You're single. Serve God, period. And if you're married, the Bible says you must carry on as if you're not. So pick the bones out of that theology. So I want to encourage you. Now's a good night for us to sow. Let's be a blessing to Steve. Let's be a blessing to his ministry, to his family, to his life, to his anointing, to the glory of God upon his life, to the blessing he's brought to our home. You know what? I just want to just say this. I've said it before. Please don't start taking him for granted. Amen. Don't start taking him for granted because he's here every week. Don't start taking him for granted. And that would be a very bad thing. So let's bless tonight. We know that some of you can write checks for 100 and some can write more. So let's just close your eyes for a minute. Let's thank God for the abundance that he gave us in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Speak to your people. The generosity of their hearts will respond because they love you and they love to give. And Father, I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So write your checks out to King's Fire International. And yes, Carrie. Yeah, did you all hear that? If you made out a pledge and you're going to pay some of it tonight, make sure you put in the memo to pledge or something like that. Yeah. That'll be wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, remember, the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Doesn't mean an excuse for bad singing. It means make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I want to encourage you that we are still getting stuck in singing familiar words instead of just letting our voices be free. You know, the key to jazz and great music is a liberty in the way you go with it. So I want to encourage you, when we start singing, not just singing in the spirit or praying in tongues, I'm talking about when we're just singing. It's one of the best ways I've ever got loose. Let me just tell you something. We'll do it one night. Sister Ruth used to have a song. Alice will love this. And used to go, I can hear the flutter, flutter, flutter of their wings. Remember, where's Wendy? Living creatures, as they come in to sing. Anyway, she used to say, why don't you just flutter a little? And you know how hard it is to get guys to flutter a little? I can hear the flutter, flutter, flutter of their wings. And all the guys go, I joined the Marines, but I ain't doing that. I go on a mission trip. I go to China. I go to Tibet, but I ain't doing that. It's amazing how guys freeze when they're asked to do something outside of their paradigm. Terrible. It's you know what? And you wonder why they can't open up to the Holy Spirit. If you can't flutter a little, how do you expect to catch the wind of the Spirit? I'm telling you, we're going there. So you might as well get ready. We're going to have no arm folding in this church. It's going to be fluttering. Yeah, I'm getting all fired up again. So, let's try it, little guys. Little flutter. Just flutter a little. See, it's almost harmless. Some guys are going, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, I'm fluttering on the inside. Oh. You're all crazy. Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Vaughn. Oh, that's funny. Huh? Yeah, it's great. Wonderful. Well, I was on the, I was just preparing before the meeting, and talking to an evangelist friend of mine on the phone. He just started telling me about the scripture, had a revelation on. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. So if you're watching, Eddie, thank you very much. So I'm going to use this same scripture because it really witnessed to my heart. Oh, thank you so much. Well, thank you very, very much. Give it a hand. That's wonderful. Oh, gosh. That's better. Imagine what a bit of water can do. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't know how much I'll preach tonight. You know what it's like. Well, probably you don't if you're visiting. Lately, I've just been speaking for a minute or two, then demonstrating the power of God, then speaking, then demonstrating. I'm sure that's the way they did it in the New Testament. So I'm trying to get away from preaching a full message and then an altar call at the end. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just trying to experiment in the Holy Ghost. Every time I get into the Holy Ghost these days, he's saying, try this, do this, do that. I dare you to. You know, that's just the way he leads me into the things of the Spirit. And if you could turn this mic down a bit, that'd be great. It's really echoing bad up here. Yeah, thank you. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse, we'll read from verse 4. It says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. For he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. Now, we know that the context of this is talking about keeping strong in God and occupying ourselves till he comes back. But I want us to bring this scripture right up to date, right into ministering in the Spirit, ministering healing to people, ministering the power of God to people. Because although we know that, for example, that Jesus has gone to heaven, the Bible says in John chapter 14 that he's up there preparing houses or mansions for us. But I also know that in the realm of the Spirit, that we can drop down into the drop zone, into the Spirit world in Jesus, into many mansions, into many rooms that are in our heart. And we can just, in our own private devotions, drop into Jesus, so to speak, and see ourselves in our imagination in a corridor, and then there's all these doors that have got names of doctrines and wonderful truths in the Bible, like righteousness and holiness and peace and prosperity. And we can just go into the room of righteousness, and we can sit on the seat of righteousness, and there on the wall is all the scriptures about God being the God of righteousness. But then we can begin to feel righteousness. How do you feel righteousness? We'll go into that room and find out. And so we know there's a literal heaven, and we know that there's literal mansions God's building for us. But in the spirit realm, we can also drop into our mansion or drop into those rooms, which I haven't got time to go thoroughly into tonight. But they're just wonderful ways that we can just develop our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in this scripture, even though it's primarily talking about the return of Christ, but it also is talking here about, therefore do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Don't lack any spiritual gift. You might say, well, what's that got to do with the return of Christ? Well, I want to bring the return of Christ or Jesus. This is really talking about the manifestation of Jesus and his power. It is going to be literal. He's going to come back. But as you know, that concerning the gifts of the Holy Ghost and them flowing through our lives, we need to wait eagerly for Jesus to touch the person. What's the best way to describe this? Xavier, come out here. I'll have a helper out here. Now, I've learned to do this, and I do it almost straight away. But as soon as I begin to call somebody out and begin to minister healing or the Holy Ghost to people or impartation of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, what I do in my spirit without even thinking about it is I'm waiting on Jesus. See, there's a nice atmosphere here, but I can do this and all that doesn't do much because I'm not really in the spirit. But you see, well, I'm not, boom, just bashing one in the head. But as I eagerly wait for Jesus, I can just put my hand on his shoulder like that and say, g'day. And there's nothing much happening, but I'm just waiting for that manifestation of Jesus now through the gifts. Now, it only takes me a few seconds because I'm used to moving in this realm for 28 years. But I'm just releasing that power. I feel Jesus now. Now it's coming upon him mightily right now. Goodbye. Now, I did that for illustration. If you don't believe it, just ask him when he comes out of it. What did he feel? If he said he felt nothing, leave my meeting. I'm a fake, you know. But if he says the power of God touched me, then shut your mouth, please. Because God touched him. And so we got to understand that when we're ministering to people on the street and somebody's sick or something like that, why don't you just try, as you're just laying hands on somebody or just touching them, you don't have to, you know, be discreet about what you're doing. I do it on a little girl. I mean, if it works on little girls, it'll work on anybody. Where's my helper? Always racing off. Oh, that's right, it's women to men, men to girls. It doesn't really matter. Who cares? Now, you can just say, can I just pray for you? But in your heart, you're waiting for that manifestation of Jesus. What do you mean? Well, you're wanting the gifts of the Spirit to flow, but nothing's going to happen unless Jesus by the Holy Ghost shows up. And so we're waiting for him to be revealed. That person, this young lady, is needing a touch from God. And all God's wanting to do is fill her with the Holy Ghost. So right now, I'm just releasing it upon her right now because I can feel that power. There it goes right now. See? Now, it's simple. You might say, well, that's all psychosomatic. No, no, it's not. It's just releasing the power of God. That's my message for tonight. It's a wonderful message, isn't it? Whole 5 minutes. Well, God's been speaking to us through the worship. He's been speaking to us through all different types of ways tonight. And these meetings are not designed for great preaching and great teaching, although the Word of God is preeminent. It's designed just to let Jesus come through very simply. Let the Word of God come through very simply and let the power of God touch people. But that's what it's all about. Why do people fall down? Because you're releasing the gift of power to them, but you're waiting on Jesus to release that power because, friends, it's all about him. And the moment we think it's about us, we're finished. This whole thing, this whole revival is about Jesus. It's about falling in love with him. It's about getting hold of Jesus and getting hold of his word. But the Lord told me to keep these meetings so simple and just keep demonstrating the power. But the changes that are happening in many of your lives is phenomenal. People who didn't have a hunger for the word of God have now got a hunger. People who are sick in their bodies are now well. People who were sick in their minds are now well. People who are bound with drugs and all sorts of things are now well. People who had incredible tensions in their marriage are now healing. And it's just been under the power of God. Every ministry is different. I came to the Lord and I came into the power of God by men of God laying hands on me and having carpet time under the power of the Holy Ghost as I was knocked to the floor. And God spiritually operated on me. So I've traveled the nations of the earth from South Africa to England to everywhere. I've been to England, I didn't actually preach there. It's about the only nation I haven't preached in. But I've been everywhere, all over the world preaching, and everywhere I go, almost everybody falls under the power of God. Not everybody, but almost everybody. Why? And they get a real touch from God. Why? Because that's how I came to Jesus. So you preach out of your revelation. And I expect that every time I release the power of God, God is now operating upon these young people. I lay hands on you, God is operating. He's imparting gifts into you. He's making us stronger in Jesus. Now, everybody has different giftings. And if you try and do it that way and it's not your gifting, then that's silly. That's why we all need each other. I'm only part of the answer, but I've got to be my part. That's silly what it is. It's just releasing Jesus to people. Just simply releasing him to people.